Well, I'm that nerdy buzzard of a pastor that Mike Maynard was talking about in Sunday school this morning. So it's great to be back. And I'm going to continue looking at charting our course this evening and take a little bit of time in the beginning to review. But I thought before we did that, let's spend a moment in prayer for Bert Mitchell. I'm sure he could appreciate it at this time. I don't know. I'm sure he hasn't made it to South Carolina yet and yet is in transit. And so as he enters the boot camp with the Marines, let's pray for him. Father, thank you that we can support our brother, although he's many miles away. Thank you that we can do that through our prayers. And we pray that, once again, that you would use Bert in the situation you have placed him. Lord, the ways that you are pleased to use him. I pray you'd use the things that he will face to do a work in his own heart, strengthening his walk with you and his character. And Lord, use him to impact others for your glory. Of course, we pray for his safety, physically and spiritually. And Father, we pray you be with Julie and continue to sustain her as well. We think of some of the initial things that he will be facing this evening and the sleep deprivation and some of the other emotional and psychological rigors that he will be facing. We pray that you would sustain him. I pray that he would be like Daniel and be a testimony of the high and mighty God. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. It's been a while, it seems, since we've been at this study. Of course, last Sunday evening, we had a church meeting and had a chance to get some of your input and discussion. And that was good, and I've got some of your input out from the purpose statements that you filled out. We've had a number of those that have come in, and this is a project that we're just on the beginning of, and it's easy with the project to get started on it and be excited, and then to see it begin to say, oh, well, you know, it's out there somewhere, this charting the course, and then kind of it loses its steam, and we have to be real careful that that doesn't happen. So let's pray to that end. That's one of the challenges that I've given you, that you'd make this whole process a part of fervent prayer. Don't let a day go by that you're not praying for the ministry here. Let's spend a little bit of time in reviewing. There are three questions that every ministry needs to ask from time to time if they're going to be staying on the right course for God and being effective in ministry. And that first question is, who are we? Who are we? And that speaks to our core values, those motivating truths, those motivating principles, those things that drive all that we do. And we've been spending time as leaders and as a church looking at what are those core values, the things that we that drive the ministry here, certainly directed from Scripture. And then our purpose. We saw last time we were together, we talked about a purpose statement. And purposes of local churches that are Bible-believing churches are going to be very similar. We have that upward purpose of worshiping God and serving Him. We have an inward purpose as we seek to edify and build one another up, as we fellowship with one another. And of course, we have an outward purpose as God has given us the responsibility to take the gospel of Christ. And some of you reflected this in your purpose statements, that we are, the church is the body of Christ. We are Christ in Monadnock region. He is the head, but if people are going to see Christ, they are going to see Him in us. And so that's that outward manifestation of Christ, proclaiming His compassion, proclaiming His holiness and His justice and His love and His longing to see people come to Him. As Christ went seeking the lost, we need to do that as well. And so that purpose is going to be similar within all Bible-believing local churches, but a particular local church will have a specific purpose. Why Mountain View Bible Church here and now at this time in this location? And so purpose statement. And then the next question is, where are we going? Let's speak to our vision. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Where are we going and by when? All right, if we don't have a goal, you set no goal, you'll probably hit it. Right? What are our goals for our ministry? And then our critical ministry areas. What are those areas that we have to perform well if we're going to succeed in our purpose? It's a good thing to ask you that yourself that question from time to time. What are those critical areas that I have to do well as a dad if I'm going to succeed? I have to do well as a teacher if I'm going to succeed. And so we're going to be talking about that in the weeks ahead. And then how will we get there? Right? Then we get to strategies. Yes. Yes, there is. Was someone going to tell me that, or are we going to go through this whole... I mean, that's incredible. Yeah, that's right. Okay. He noticed it. Yeah, this is all in sermon audio right now. Yeah, sermon video. All right. Thanks, Bill. At least he saw me pushing something, you know. So a review. Okay. Come on back. All right, we got it? Good. Zoom slide. Okay, I have it there. I have it there, but I don't have it on my screen here. All right. Steve said to me, you've got it all... I'm going to have to look over my shoulder here. All right, there are core values. We're at where are we going and how will we get there? Strategies, the specific tasks that we need to do to accomplish our purpose. All right, and there is a continuity. There are things that don't change. All right, our core doctrines, those things that we believe. That God's Word is our standard for what we believe and how we live. Our core purpose and core values. That's the glue that holds us together. And as we recognize those things together in the spirit of unity, we stay together. But there are some things that change. And that is the vision for future. All right, how are we going to accomplish these things and some of the strategies? And as we grow, what changes need to take place? And that's the growth that keeps us healthy. So let's talk a little bit about vision. Vision statement, our view for the future of the ministry, charting where you want to be and by when. What is a vision? There's some men that have had some quotations. Here's one. A clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his servants based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. Notice he mentions there's something that's clear. Sometimes we think, you know, what is your vision for your life or for the church? It's like, could you explain it in 5 minutes? What is it that you want to accomplish? So it's clear. And we would say something that's written down. And it's not separated from God. All right? It's looking to God's Word and drawing from who He is and the reality of circumstances. Right? So there's a good definition of vision. Here's another one. Vision is a clear and challenging picture of the future of a ministry as its leadership believes it can be and should be. Again, the idea of something that's clear, right? Not foggy, and challenging. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Not something that's easy. I'm going to get out of bed in the morning. That's my vision for the day. But something that's challenging, that will stretch you. Right? The future of our ministry, as its leadership believes it can be, this is possible, but more than that, motivating. This is something that it should be. We must be doing these things. Right? And then someone else. Seeing how the future will specifically be better due to specific changes. Right? Getting down to details there. Right? Specifically, are there things that aren't what they should be now? What are those specific things? And what need we do to deal with those things specifically? Right. We could look at a vision this way. Now, no offense to those who live in Africa. Maybe those in Africa will say, some people went to America to sell shoes, but this is how I heard the illustrations. Think of a time period in Africa or any country where they didn't have shoes. Right. Two salesmen went to Africa to sell shoes. One came back discouraged, saying that nobody there wore shoes. He got there as a salesman, looked around. Don't even wear shoes here. What are we going to do? And then someone else went, second salesman. The other wired back, send more shoes. There are millions without them. And the difference between these two is one saw what was and the other had vision. One had that just kind of a negative approach, looked around, what can we do with this? No one's wearing shoes, might as well go home. The other person said, wow, what an opportunity. Look at all the customers we have here as we convince them of the need for shoes. So there's some good definitions of vision from as men consider what a vision would be for a person or a business or even a church. And we can talk about people's definitions and we can talk about illustrations. But a good question for us to ask is vision biblical? Is vision biblical? All right. And take a look at Proverbs 29:18. If you turn there. I think this is a passage that, if you're familiar with God's word, someone were to start talking about vision and vision for a church, this is a verse that would come up. And yet, in a real understanding of this verse, it really doesn't apply to what we're talking about. All right? Proverbs 29:18, but in one way it does, and we'll see. Proverbs 29:18, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The word vision in the text here is not speaking of the vision like I was just describing in those definitions. A vision for the future. The idea of setting goals. That's not what this verse is talking about. In fact, the word vision here in this text refers to a revelation from God. It's speaking of God revealing His Word to us. In fact, if you look at your text in front of you, we have Proverbs 29:18, and you'll see the second half of the verse here. There's a parallelism in this. Right? Hebrew poetry is sometimes set up with parallelism. Proverbs is often like that. The second part of the proverb repeats the first part in a different way or gives a different angle. And so we get an idea of what vision is by reading the second part of this proverb. And we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." The law or God's word is parallel to vision. And so this text is talking about the Word of God. And so we could say this, that without God's Word to guide us, we are in great danger, more than just great danger, because the text says where there is no vision, where there is no revelation from God, where we don't have God's Word to guide us, we perish. We're in grave danger. The root of the word perish has the idea of being unrestrained. And so people without God's good restraint are in trouble. God's Word gives us the boundaries for life. And if we throw off God's Word, we're going to run outside the boundaries and we're going to find ourselves in trouble, in very grave danger. If we don't have God's Word, the people perish. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 in verse 1, just so we can support this idea that this word vision is speaking of God's Word. Here you're familiar with the story where Samuel is given a revelation from the Lord. The Lord speaks to Samuel. But in those days, that didn't happen very much. And we're told in verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." So what is parallel to the word vision in that text? The word of the Lord. Okay, so this text is talking about God's word. One other passage, if you take a look at Amos. Amos, we've just learned the Old Testament books. If you can find the first book of the minor prophets, Hosea, then Joel, then you'll come to Amos. Amos 8, 11, and 12. Here Amos gives this message from the Lord. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." What a terrible circumstance. To be in a place where you don't have the guidance of God's Word. You don't have His restraints. And when you don't have God's Word, God's vision, you are in grave danger. And Amos was saying, because of these people's rejection of God's prophets, there's going to come a day when God won't send the prophets to warn them anymore. We live in a very blessed age. There is a sense in which this famine cannot happen to us as long as we have God's written revelation. We have God's word, the bread of life, right in front of us. And sometimes we may long for the days of the prophets where they could speak directly the word of the Lord, and yet we have something far better than that. We have God's sure word written down, penned forever, that we can refer to and go to. We never have to be in want of God's spiritual food to direct us and to feed us. So there's one sense in which this famine could never happen, and yet there is another sense that it can if we are neglectful to God's word. If we just put it aside, God speaks of us becoming hardened. And we can have the word right in front of us. We can have a feast of God's wisdom and guidance and His revelation, His vision to us, but it means nothing to us. And we can read it and our eyes can be blinded and our hearts can be calloused. And so although we have God's written word, we can, by neglecting it, become hardened. May that never happen, be true of our church. Because if we don't have God's word to guide us, we can have all these nifty definitions of vision and we can have all these illustrations, but there is no true vision unless we have the vision of the Lord. We have God's word to guide us. And so, is it biblical? Yes, it is biblical in the sense that we need to be following God's word. And then next, Paul had enormous spirit-submitted vision. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 15, this is a passage we looked at when we were talking about the purpose statement last time. Paul had a purpose to preach the gospel as the church did. The church was given the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But as Paul's ministry developed, he got a specific purpose to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and then even beyond that, to preach the gospel in places where the gospel had never been heard. We read in verse 20 of Romans 15, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Preaching the gospel is a command that we all must obey. But determining where and how we're going to go about that, certainly the how we're told in Scripture to preach it, to tell the truth. And yet some of the strategies and the places, that takes vision. I think it was Danny Schmidt pointed out when we got together last Sunday afternoon. Taking a look at the community that we're trying to reach, trying to understand the community and what they're thinking, and doing a survey of who lives where and that type of thing will be helpful to proclaim the gospel to them. And so that takes vision. And as we think about what our vision is going to be and our purpose, we can't do everything. There's going to be some specific areas that God calls us to pursue. And many times, good is often the enemy of the best. Doing too many good things may mean not getting the important things done. Sometimes you can have so many things on your plate, and they're all can be good, and yet there are so many of them, the very important things that you need to get done are overlooked. Vision gives life priority. We're saying this is where we're headed. This is our goal. It helps us pursue that. We see some of the narrowing down of ministry, even in the early church, the apostles there in Acts 6. There was a need that came up and some disagreement about the feeding of the Greek women. And the apostles said, okay, we need to deal with this problem, but we're not going to do it. And in Acts 6:4, the apostle says, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They had a vision for what they were going to do. And they gave themselves to it. And then they came up with some strategies to deal with the other problems. And they gave those off to someone else. And so Paul had enormous spirit-submitted vision. And then, is vision biblical? It is the very meaning of faith. Who knows what Matthew 16:18 says as it relates to the church? Anyone know that text? As Christ is speaking, you can look it up and... All right, Danny. All right. All right, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ said that. Almighty God, when He walked the earth, our resurrected Lord who still lives and has given us authority, said, I will build my church. And He is doing it through His body, the church. We, as we go out and proclaim the gospel. And so the very meaning of faith is this idea of vision. God can fulfill the vision He has given for the future despite the difficulties, the very gates of hell. Those defensive fortresses that the evil one has set up to keep the gospel from reaching those who are lost. We can break down those barriers and reach right into the very mouth of hell and pull people out and save them through the authority and power of Christ. Because Christ is building His church. This vision is biblical because it's the definition of faith. Taking God at His word. And then lastly... there are limits of vision. There are limits of vision. In Acts 16, 6 through 10, Paul had a vision, a desire, you could say, a goal to take the gospel to Asia. And he was set in that direction. And then the Lord confronted him, and in that age, with a literal vision, a direct revelation, not the written word of God, but a vision. And he was told, no, you need to go to Macedonia. You need to go further into Europe. And so Paul had a goal, and God redirected his goal. And so we need to be sensitive to that as well. And then James 4, 13 through 17 speaks of those who in a very prideful way say that we will go into such and such a city, and we will buy and sell and get gain, and we will accomplish all these things. We're going to do this. This is our goal. This is our vision. We have the resources to do it. And the text goes on and says, you are boasting, and such boasting is sin. You need to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. And so we need to have that spirit, the limits of vision. And then lastly, if you'll turn to this text, Proverbs 16. Back to Proverbs 16. And verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We need to, as God gives us by His Spirit, as we are humble before His Word, as we think, what is it that the Lord wants us to accomplish? Here is, as we look to God's Word, the purposes of a church. This is what we're doing well, this is what we're not doing well, and so here's our vision, here's what we want to accomplish. And yet, as we set those things, it is the Lord who needs to direct our steps. Right. And so, as we look at vision, is it biblical? And we have those points. But now let's look at a vision statement. All right, it's biblical. Let's see if we can put something together for our church, what the Lord would have us to do. And we have a box that has a present, and then the year 2010. You can either close your eyes to do this, or if you want to just do it mentally in your head, that's fine. But close your eyes and think of your house where you live. All right, you're looking at your house from about, say, 20 yards back, maybe a little bit more. All right, and you're looking at what it looks like right now. You got it? Now think of that same house in 10 years. And what do you see? A lot of people, that they do that, they have this vision, and they think of what their house is going to look like in 10 years. And in their mind, the trees haven't grown at all. Their vision of their house in 10 years is exactly the same as it was. Or you can open your eyes now. You have their eyes closed. It's the same. And that's often the reason why when we plant the trees, we plant them too close together. I tell my boys as we come up in front of the boys' dorm, I said, when I was in the dorm and we walked up for meals from the boys' dorm, you see those pine trees there? We jumped over those. And Joel's impressed that I could jump really high. He thinks, man, Dad, what are you, a leprechaun? And he, whoa! But actually, when I was here in school, you could jump over those trees. They were very, very small. And now some 25, 30 years has gone by, and those trees are big. And so you close your eyes and think, okay, what is this going to look like in 10 years? That's a good thing to do with our children. Once we get we look at our children, and we look at his little Noah up here, and this Andrew, and this Daniel in the back, and Jill's in the nursery tonight helping Wendy, and we think of them in our mind's eyes that they're always going to be 5 or 6. And we need to have a vision of what are they going to look like, and not just look like, but what are they going to be in 15 years, 20 years? Are they going to get bigger? Are they going to get older? Are they going to be in a position to follow the Lord or not? We need to do that with our students, the ones that sang up here tonight, and have a vision for there's going to be a time when these students will be leading Christian homes, leading ministries. And that gives us focus in our ministry. But let's do that with our church. Okay? Here's a church. Close your eyes if you want again. Some of you are really into this closing your eyes. Close your eyes. Think, okay, our church in 2010, this PowerPoint was obviously done a while back, so we got to go 10 years from now. It's 2017. Maybe you're standing up here where I am, and it's a Sunday morning. Okay? And you're looking out at the auditorium and the people in it as we gather for worship in 2017. What do you see? What do you see? All right. If you see the same thing, all right, people in the same place, everything the same, right, people the same age, then you don't have vision. Right? That's not what the church is going to be. All right. If the same people in the same places, then you lack vision. All right? Our church, by God's grace, is going to be different. And even if we do nothing, it's going to be different to some degree. And we need to direct that change. And as church leaders, especially, need to avoid the mindset that things don't change. Because if that happens, ministry can plateau and eventually even decline. I gave the men this illustration when we got together. I have here an elastic band. Okay, you see this? Right, it's an elastic band. And my hand here, holding one end in my fist, and I have another end down here. My upper hand here is what we can be. Okay, what we can be. Lower hand is what we are right now. And the rubber band is connecting the two, and there's tension there. If I wanted to relieve the tension, what could I do? There's two things I could do to relieve the tension. This is what we can be, and this is what we are right now. What's one thing I could do to relieve the tension? Okay, I could move one of the hands closer together. I could move what we can be closer to what we are. Oh, that's easy, all right? No more tension. Okay, and so a lot of people when they deal with vision and future, it's like I want to relieve tension. Let's eliminate goals. Whew, that was easy. No more tension. Okay, or we could do what? Okay, we could say what we are right now and move towards what we can be and what we should be. All right, and the responsibility of leaders of a church and really the responsibility of a congregation is not to be content with just lowering expectations so everything's fine. Responsibility is to create a level of tension that is always driving us to say, this is what we are, this is what we can be as an effective ministry for God and seeking to move. What we can be, what we should be, what we must be. And so that's what is before us. And if we're content simply to bring this down here, then we're not going to be moving forward as we should. And so as we talk about a vision statement, it begins to open up specifically what we're going to be doing, what we're going to be pursuing, and where we're going to put time, and where we're going to put our treasure. And so let's look at a vision statement and the elements of a good vision statement. All right, a vision statement. You're going to be writing one of these. This is your next assignment for this week. It will be due next Sunday. All right, and so you want to take a look at these things. It states where you believe God wants you to be and by when. Okay? Where you believe, God wants you to be, and by when. You might say, my life plus 10 years. This church plus 10 years. Right? Next, it's a BHAG. What in the world is a BHAG or BHAG? Is that some Korean word? What is BHAG? Right? It is a big, hairy, audacious goal. All right? When you set your vision, it's not, I want to get out of bed this morning. It is something that is big. Something that is that's going to stretch you, that's going to create a level of tension that's manageable, because the next point is, as with any goal, it should be measurable, ambitious, and attainable. All right, right now, if my goal were to jump over the trees in front of the boys' door, it's not going to happen. And yet, it is something that needs to be something that is ambitious. And then it should state two things. It should involve two things. What you want to be and what you want to do. Not only tasks to do, but what you want God to accomplish in you. All right? There's some more. Look at this. It should flesh out your purpose statement by including critical ministry areas. So you think of the purpose of the local church, you'll be saying something like this. Because this is our purpose, here are the things we're going to pursue, and here's what we're going what we're going to have to accomplish in key ministry areas. Here's our purpose statement. This is what God expects for us to do. This is how we're going to flesh out our purpose statement. This is where we're headed. And this is what we have to do in these key ministry areas. If we're going to fulfill this purpose and reach this vision, this is what we have to do in evangelism. This is what we have to do in our edification ministry. This is what we have to do in our fellowship ministry. All right, and so it fleshes out a purpose statement. It should be time limited by a target year. All right, putting a specific time to it. It should be easily understood in 5 minutes. It's not a big ministry plan, pages and pages, but something that you could explain, that we could get together, so that we could all say, this is where we're headed. If I could apply it to myself personally, let's say, and this should be a core value, a purpose in my life, would be to teach my children character. Right? That's a purpose, that I would teach my children character. And then maybe another core value or purpose is that I would take care of the resources that God has given to me. Right, so flowing from that, I may have an area of a critical ministry area in taking care of the house that God has provided for me. And I may have a particular vision for a particular room that I've spoken of a couple times in this series. And that is the basement of the parsonage. Right, right now, the basement of the parsonage is not much to look at. All right? It is disorganized. And so I might have a vision statement that flows from my core values and purpose. I want to teach my kids character. I want to show them it's important if you're going to do something well and effectively to have things organized. Because if they're disorganized and I say, where is the ratchet wrench? I don't know where the ratchet, it was in the garage last time or was here. And it's all everywhere and I'm not doing things effectively. I'm trying to get this job done and I spent half hour looking for the wrench. And that's not good use of time. And just the character issue of just, you know, what the basement looks like. And so that's not good. Is that how I want to teach them to have their life organized? And then beyond that, taking care of resources. And so it flows from purpose. You get that? It's all flowing from this. And so here's my vision statement. And I just chose 2011 just to be funny. I hope I'll get it done before then. But here we go. By 2011, I want to have my basement cleaned so that I can more effectively use the space and get rid of all the junk I don't need. All right. I don't know if you've ever had opportunity to clean out the basement of maybe elderly grandparent or something that they've been collecting things all their life. That's quite a task. I don't want to leave that to my children. All right. So clean all the junk I don't need, and also to have a plan in place to keep it clean and organized. That's a good vision statement for my basement. It flows from the core values of how I believe, on paper anyway, I should be living my life effectively. Okay? So that's the idea. And that's easily understood. Okay, it's not some foggy thing out there. It's connected. All right. Just some questions, same thing, but in question. What is your target date? Don't limit your vision to building projects. Sometimes churches speak of vision and they speak only of building projects. Doesn't mean you can't include that, and maybe there are some here, and we've talked about that a little bit. And I mentioned last time, as the leaders got together, there's a feeling that the Lord may have a building for us in the future, but we want to see the Lord direct that. And so don't limit to that. But you may want to put that in a vision statement that you put together. What do you want to see your church accomplish by that date? And how do you want people to describe your church by that date? Here is one attempt at a vision statement. I had some of the leaders put one together. And when they put these together, and you're going to see seven of them on the assignment. It'll be similar to the purpose statement. You'll see seven vision statements, and you can circle the one that you think best fits, should be a vision for our church. Or you can use all of them and kind of put them together, meld them together, or you can write your own. And I had them put this together. We just briefly even spoken about what makes a good vision statement. And so some that you will see may not have all the components of a good vision statement, but we'll be working on that. But here's one I think catches idea of the vision for the future. To reach out to the 16,000 people in the 7-mile radius of the Mountain View Bible Church within 2 years. All right, so there's a target date within 2 years. So that would be by 2009. I've mentioned that within the 7-mile radius of our area, there are 16,000 people. It goes from Franklin Pierce to the south, to John French's house, to the, which direction is that? To the east, to the border of between Marlboro and Dublin, to the west, and to the north, to the center of Hancock. So 16,000 people. Informing them who, where, when, and why. Okay, tell them about us. In the process of doing this, we will look for open doors to witness and convert and to add to our church membership. Disciple members that they are equipped to minister. An idea of what we want to be, not just accomplish, but what we want to be. And strongly encouraging each and every member to take part. A vision for this not just being the work of some or a few, but the work of even every member. Right? That's a good vision statement. Right, so you'll see some more of those up there. All right, so that's something else for next time. All right, let me have six men come up and hand these out. I say six so they get handed out faster. If I say two, it will. All right, I call for six and I get eight. That's good. I see one, Seth. We may have enough of students. I think we do. If not, they may have to give one up they can look at it. As leaders, we really want to include you in the process. We have 90 adults who consider Mountain View Bible Church their church home. Some of them are not in our area. Christy Colas would be part of that, and the Leons as well. Of those 90, we had 60 that came out to the meetings to learn about the core values and the core value exercise. And of the 60 who came out, we had almost 50 who filled those out. That was great. I thought that was good. Now, the purpose statement, we're a little bit behind on that. I don't know how many have handed them in. They're still coming in. Today was the due date, but we have a lot fewer than 50. And so the ones we've had come in, many of them, it's interesting, some just circled the ones. Some took the time to write up a nice purpose statement connected to Scripture. And those are going to be very helpful to the men as they meet this Saturday. So even if maybe you've missed the due date, one of my challenges was to get these assignments done on time so that they can be useful to the leaders. And so even though today was the due date for the purpose statement, we're not meeting until Saturday. And so if you can get those in, that would be great. It would be very, very helpful. And if you've lost those forms, I will try to send them out via email to you, attachment, so you can use them. But here is one for a vision statement. You'll see that there are seven that are listed there. I've already given you the instructions, but let's just review the elements of a good vision statement and questions to ask. That's on the back side. It states where you believe God wants you to be and by when. It is a big, hairy, audacious goal. You'll see in this that some of the men have a different idea of big and hairy and audacious. Right? Some are speaking in terms of a score of new people. You know, some are saying, you know, more than that coming into our church. All right, and so and there are other areas to consider even beyond evangelism that I trust that you will incorporate within the vision statement. As with any goal, it should be measurable, ambitious, and attainable. It's one thing to say we want to have a more friendly church. We want to be more loving. How would you measure that? Okay, so that might be helpful to include that. It should state what you want to be and what you want to do. It should flesh out your purpose statement by including critical ministry areas. It should be time limited by a target year. It should be easily understood in 5 minutes. Maybe another way to be helpful as you work through, what's your target date? What do you want to see our church accomplish by that date? How do you want people to describe our church by that date? If you were to go to someone in downtown Dublin and you were to say to them, Mountain View Bible Church, okay, what would come to their mind? As I said in our meeting last week, I think in many people, if you were to say Mountain View Bible Church to them, they would say, what? Where's that? Okay. Others would have other associations. And so what is it that we want people to know about us? All right, so that's a good question to consider as you write the vision statement. And then, what is your vision for the key areas of our church's ministry? All right, so if you could work on that this week, and you can just get it in by next Sunday. I think the song that, how did Kevin describe the ensemble, the female resident student ensemble, I think the song that they sang at the beginning of the service fits well in what we're doing here. To whom much has been given, much more shall be required. God has given us something very precious in giving us a local church. We have many great, by God's grace, many, many great resources. And we need to do something with them. We've been given much, and we will be required to use that for His glory. And part of that process is putting a plan in place so that we can be more effective for His glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that we could be here tonight. I pray that You would give us a vision for the ministry that You have given us. I pray that the vision that we have would be directed by Your Word. We would not do this separate from Your guidance. Thank You that we have the vision, the revelation of who You are and what it is You want us to do. Lord, we have all that we need in Your Word to guide us. And Father, I pray that we would not have such wonderful, perfect instruction in front of us and then lay it aside and face grave danger. I pray that as we take Your Word and lay it alongside the things that we're putting together regarding our core values and purpose and vision and values, Father, that we would see by Your grace You are giving us the mind of Christ, because we are His body and we want to do His will. I pray as we set this direction for our church, You'd help us also to consider the families and each of us as we make up this church. That we would seek to be effective servants for You. That we would not be content with just lowering expectations when we have such high goals and high purposes that You have given us. I pray that by Your grace and Your power and in our faith, we would lay hold of what those things are that You want us to accomplish, and that we would pursue them with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.